There's an item about fire. In the event of fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exits marked with green running men. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance to the council offices. Please gather there and wait further instructions. A matter about health and safety, that I advise you that there are different levels of flooring within the council chamber. There are steps behind the main horseshoes as well as outside of the room. And I'll also tell you that this meeting is monitored by CCTV. Good evening to you all. Apologies for absence. We have apologies for absence from Councillor Durham, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Harker, Councillor Hurd, Councillor Pugney, Councillor Slodzik, Councillor Williams and Councillor Long. I believe we have one from Councillor Custom as well. And that's all I know. Are there any other apologies?
I think it was Councillor Perlman that really said that one, but I know at one point it was both Councillors Harker, but one Councillor Harker is now in
meeting. Well, one Councillor Harker's here.
Right.
Wrong to say.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other apologies for absence? Agenda item three, then, disclosure of interest. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 10 inclusive of the code of conduct. And you're also reminded that should you discover during the course of the meeting you have an interest, you are to declare it. Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Kevin. Are we really seated whilst we speak, or do we stand for you?
Oh no, I'm quite contented that you remain seated. Should you wish to bring your mic a bit nearer to you?
CO2, Chairman, the route is past my front door, so I will declare a pecuniary interest and we'll leave the chamber during the discussion.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Declare my normal one, but I'm a member of Essex County Council and obviously they respond in highways matters and other things, so that's non-pecuniary. Also, Chairman, regarding the second application, CL2, this actually is remarkable, like, in fact I know it is, that which went before the South Eastern Area Committee and was heard at Ormiston Academy. At that time I declared a non-pecuniary interest and maintained that I would not speak or vote on the item because I'm a member of the East of England Energy Group. Unfortunately, it got recorded incorrectly as pecuniary, but I did manage to alter that when the minutes were done. And that was purely because I left the meeting at time to accompany Councillor Pratt. I thought I might as well join him as I wasn't taking part. So, in all fairness, I think I was too cautious on that occasion at South East, but I'm going to keep consistency and therefore declare non-pecuniary for the reasons I've stated. And on that second one, I will not speak and I will not vote, Chairman.
Thank you. I'm sure that Security Clerk has got note of that. Are there any other interests, please? In that case, we can move on to Agenda Item 4, which is planning applications to be determined by this committee. The first one is CL1, and it's change of use of a building in Haybridge. Could I ask the officers to give a presentation, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Planning permission is sought for the change of use of the site and buildings to a mixed use comprising of V8 storage, offices and a trade sales counter. The site would accommodate the relocation of the existing business, which is currently located in the Wick Hill Business Park within Malden. The size and external appearance of the existing buildings will remain the same. However, there will be alterations within the building and the internal floor space within. The planning department has entered into consultation process for this application, as with all applications, and it should be noted that the Parish Council supports this application. Environmental Health have raised no objections to the development subject to conditions, and the planning policy section have no objections. It should also be noted that no letters of representation have been received from local residents. As part of the Council development plan, the site is allocated for employment, and the site falls within Site 13 of the Employment Land Review. In relation to this site, Employment Land Review states, currently an existing employment site, 100% developed. Market sectors are office, industrial, warehouse. The size and layout of buildings has given rise to difficulties in letting in the past. Opportunities for mixed-use redevelopment, local market conditions score fair, possible change of use if weak economic climate continues. As members may recall, in June 2014, an application to demolish the existing building to erect 48 residential dwellings was refused planning permission. This was in relation to the loss of the use of employment. I'll take members through the slides. This is the location plans. This is the block plan. This is the existing plans of the building. This is the roof plan. This is the elevations of, as explained already, these will not be changed as part of the application. Same here. This is the proposed floor plans, as members will be able to see here. There is this where the trade sales, for example, electrical sales, builders, merchants, etc. There will be other facilities on the site there, such as a canteen for the staff, as well as offices in relation to the business. This is the warehouse at the moment, both internal and external. These are the views of the site from Hall Road. This is the parking area, and this is the access onto Hall Road. And this is the existing mixed development in the streets, and you can see there's both houses and commercial premises. The application is, as I said, the development is not considered to result in any harm to the character of the area, to nearby heritage assets, or to the occupiers' nearby dwellings. Furthermore, the proposed change of use is considered to be compliant with the employment land review, and it's recommended that the application is approved.
Thank you, Chairman.
Members. Thank you very much. Brings us to CL2. And on CL2, I have a order, please. I've been informed that there are two speakers after the officer's presentation. One is Mr. Sisterson, and the other is Mr. Adams. And we have I'm drawing members' attention to the updates, which is before you, which is relating to letters of representation. Broadly speaking, that is exactly the description of it. So CL2 then, which is an application to vary conditions on the wind farm at Turncoal Farm. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. As members will recall, planning permission was granted at appeal for the formation of a wind farm at Turncoal Farm. The wind farm was for 7 3-bladed horizontal axis wind turbines. The current application is made under Section 73 of the Town and Country Planning Act and is to vary Condition 9 and 14 of the permission allowed at appeal. The exact wording of the conditions and a legal summary of the Section 73 application are contained within Section 3 of the report in front of members. Condition 9 relates to provision of abnormal indivisible load movements, known as AIL, within the report. The current proposal would allow for the marine delivery point constructed as part of the Middlewick wind farm to be used for delivery of turbine parts as part of this development. It is estimated that the use of this marine delivery point will reduce the number of AIL movements by around 60 as part of the building process. Condition 14 relates to the height of the development. It is proposed to vary the condition. Whilst this condition is proposed to be varied, it would not change the actual overall height of the development, but would allow for a reduction in the hub height by 2 metres. This can be seen within the condition, within Section 3. This would allow for the development to take advantage of new advancements in wind turbine technology and result in slightly longer turbines. Members may recall that the application was refused for the variation of Condition 14 in 2014. The reason for refusal is on page 24 of the agenda. The proposed development was refused as it was concerned that the increase in height, scale and bulk would have a potential increase in noise and also character and appearance of the area. The applicant has come back with additional information and we've consulted on this information. In relation to noise, the Environmental Health section have confirmed that the noise from the turbine is actually much more controlled by the actual choice of equipment and the actual company's piece of equipment rather than actually by the blades, and that this conditions that are along the original permission would still be satisfactory to control and protect the amenity of the neighbours. As part of the submission, as highlighted within the report, the applicant has confirmed that if they were to use the piece of equipment that they consider likely, they would be able to meet the conditions comfortably. The other aspect, obviously, in relation to the harm from the increased length of the blades. Obviously, harm to the character in the area was accepted by the planning inspector, and as you can see in section 7.4.3 of the agenda, it was accepted that there'd be harm and conflict with the area, but it wasn't enough for the Secretary of State to dismiss the appeal, even though he did note that. When taking into account the benefits of the scheme, it wasn't considered it was acceptable to refuse the scheme. part of the submission, the applicant has submitted a plan showing the difference in the sweep area, because I know that was a concern to members, and I'll bring us on to that shortly. But that actually results in the proposed development would actually be only an increase in 4.1% of the swept area. And I just hope members do the things. So those members will call this the location plan for the site. This is a photo montage of what they're proposing it would look like. Another one. As you can see here, members, this is the reduction in the hub height. So, as you can see here, from 75 is what they're proposing, and 77 is what it is now. As you can see, there's no real demonstrable difference between the two plans. So here is an image of what the difference would be. As you can see, the actual difference between the... obviously, at the top, there is no difference because the height is the same. Obviously, the difference at the bottom is, as you see, that is how it works out, as you can see here. Obviously, here's some photos of the site. And some photos of the site, so with the adjoining wind farm already in situ. More photos of the site. Obviously, as I said, well, the proposed development would obviously result in a demonstrable difference to the character of the area. This is something that the inspector has already accepted and said, yeah, reality is that the impact, while it would be noticeable, the benefits of the development outweigh that. And officers consider that is something that is a serious material consideration determining this application, and with this in mind, the application is recommended for approval. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sisterson, if you'd like to come forward and use one of the microphones, please. Are you aware, sir, that you have 2 minutes to say what you want to say, and the time will start when you start speaking?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Chairman and Councillors. I speak on behalf of our local community who have supported the River Not Road campaign over the last 3 to 4 months to ensure Turncoal wind farm turbines and components are delivered via the River Crouch. It has been encouraging to gain the support not only from our local MP, but also from your CEO, Ms. Fiona Marshall, who replied to me in January 2015, and I quote, "The council encourages the opportunity to reduce the impact on the local road network and is keen to have this application determined as a priority." The River Not Road campaign has not been about the pluses or minus merits of RAS Turncoal wind farm. That is academic, as clearly approval for these 7 turbine wind farm was granted by the Right Honourable Eric Pickles Department back in February 2014. My campaign is primarily to highlight the need to harness more of our natural resources and to ensure the large turbine components are delivered by the River Crouch existing landing facilities, which incidentally is located only 2 to 3 kilometres from the site, thus eliminating 60 plus abnormal load vehicles from disrupting our local and county road network. By approving this application, it would at least clearly show what we are now known as localism, i.e. giving people more power over what happens in their neighbourhood. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Now, Mr. Adams, who is the applicant, would like to speak. Would you like to use the microphone, sir, please?
Good evening, councillors. I'd like to take this opportunity to highlight a few elements of the application which is before you this evening. In relation to varying the hub height, we want to address any remaining concerns about noise and visual impacts. You might assume that constructing a turbine with longer blades would lead to an increase in noise levels produced. This is just not the case. We have supplied information with this application to demonstrate that any of the turbines we might use will operate within the existing noise constraints imposed by the original planning consent. It is clear from the planning officer's report that this information has satisfied the EHO regarding noise. In relation to visual impacts, the reality is that lowering the hub height by 2 metres and any related increase in blade length will be almost imperceptible to the human eye. There will be no increase to the overall height of the turbines from the original planning permission either, so there simply are no additional visual impacts associated with this modest change in hub height. In fact, there is much to be gained by granting consent. Lowering the hub height of the turbines will allow RES to increase the amount of renewable energy Turncoal wind farm can generate. This in turn will result in an estimated additional £2 million for the local economy through additional business rates and increased community benefits. Moving on to turbine delivery, it's clear that there was a strong desire from the local community that turbine components are brought to site by river as possible. Since Middlewick Wind Farm has now been constructed, the opportunity to utilise the existing marine landing for Tern Coal is a genuine possibility. We would urge the committee to act upon the community's wishes by allowing us to bring the turbine components to site using marine delivery. In summary, there are no additional impacts related to granting consent for these variations beyond which were recognised by the planning inspector. This is reflected in the fact that there have been no objections from any statutory consultees and the planning officer has recommended approval. It is on this basis that I ask would you grant consent for this application. Thank you for your time.
Very good timing. Would the ward member care to speak on this, Councillor Veal?
This application has been coming to South Inston area for quite some time now.
Sorry, members. This application has been coming to South Eastern Area Planning Committee for some time now, and the major reasons for refusal being put forward has been the impact on the local people and local environment. And as was pointed out, we were never happy with the idea that the wind turbine blades would come through such a tortuous route as was originally indicated by road. It was requested many, many months ago that the existing jetty be used, but at that time the company did not come up with any sort of possibility of doing it. And I can say, thanks to Mr. Sisterton and his campaign, common sense came to the situation where it was probably best for RES and the other company who were in charge of that marina docking system, that luckily enough, that is where one of the major problems sort of that impact on the local people has now been overcome. It's a pity really that it wasn't sort of discussed when we were talking about it with them 6 to 8 months ago, but it's now resolved. Our officer pointed out that with the change in the blade length and the reduction in the hub height, and the words he said was, they should be able to comply. Was that qualified by a neutral body, or was that an assessment made by the company that were applying? It's as simple as that. If I want to get an application through, I would easily turn, or quite happily turn around and say, oh, we'll get it to comply. But I would like to think that at the end of the day, that when it's even our officer turns around and says the information is that they should be able to comply, that is a more positive statement that's made than that sort of indicative situation. And I wonder whether our officer might be able to come back to indicate if he feels happy that when he said it should be able to comply, that we will end up with it complying within the enforcement arrangements. Although this has been turned, we turned it down and reduced the minimum height of the blade and also delivery, believe it or not, we still haven't got the problem resolved, because we're still going to have 9,000 lorries coming through our area, which is not before us at the moment. So taking into consideration the overall impact of this development on the Dengie 100 and the residents of the Dengie 100, we're a long way towards getting to the answer, but we haven't still got the resolved over all these traffic movements, which is a major impact. But at the moment, we've got to talk about the facility to deliver by sea and the reduction in the height. So,
thank you. Would our officer care to address the point that Councillor Beale's made about the noise, please?
To you, Chairman. As was explained earlier, the actual length of the blade isn't proportional or necessarily directly reflect the level of noise. It would actually be about the equipment choice. The applicant submitted a report as part of the application by an independent acoustic expert that was actually been looked at by Environmental Health, and they are quite happy that the development would be able to comply with the requirements of the condition.
And it can be monitored, of course.
Yep.
OK, Councillor Boyce, you indicated you wish to speak.
The other
ward member wishes to speak, but he hasn't indicated yet. But Councillor Fluker, if you'd like to speak.
No, I'd never give up the opportunity to speak in one of your meetings. Chairman, I'd just like to start by saying that I don't actually warm to receiving threatening, intimidating emails from applicants that weigh commercial gain against community payback. I don't really think that's what it's all about. 5 years ago, I lobbied to get these wind-turbine components out of Old Heath, out of Southminster and out of Burnham. So I'm absolutely delighted where we are today, and I never actually thought that I'd ever say this, but I actually support that part of this application. However, when we landed wind farm components at Hollywell Point before for the previous wind farm, Middlewick, there were no end of complaints from members of the public. I was receiving up to 40 a week. And most of the problems were when they moved the components from the boats onto the shore. They seemed to be doing this on a 24-hour day methodology, which they blamed on the fact of their constraints by tide. Well, if you, Chairman, I know, like me, you're a sailing man, so you will understand that high tide is 7 o'clock on a Monday and then you add an hour. So for that week, they'd be quite happy they could do it within their time spans. The following week, they'd be working in the afternoon, and then the following week, they'd be back to 7 o'clock in the morning. The boatyards have done this for years. And I do think that if members were mindful to agree that part of the application, then I think that we should take into consideration the needs and the requirements and the amenity of those residents that live in the area, and we should try and condition this so that we protect their interests. As far as the other part of this application is concerned, it's quite interesting because I hear what the officer said about what Pim said, but what we have to do is try and understand. Well, I was going to say try and understand pins, and I don't think any of us can quite do that. But we have to understand where their tipping point is. I mean, this doesn't look much change, but for the benefit of the members, it's something like 350 extra square metres of wind blade movement in the sky. If you multiply that by 7, which I did earlier while I'm playing for time, I'll tell you that it comes out to something like, I think, I've lost my piece of paper. Anyway, 7 times 3, it's about 2,300 square metres up in the sky. So we're now talking about another football pitch up in the sky. Is this what Pins had in mind? I mean, that's a huge difference overall. And when you view these wind turbines individually like that, Chairman, you can't see much of a change. But when you put them all together, and we mustn't lose sight of the cumulative effect of Middlewick, because Middlewick is now built. And I cannot believe that any planning inspector would go down onto the Dengie Marshes and think, what a good decision I made there. They've destroyed the area. These things tower over Southminster. The Turnpole wind farm will tower over Burnham. And we put an extra bit on the top of them. Well, we don't put any more on the top, but they get wider. We've got a bigger span, Chairman. And it's for that reason I'm not comfortable in supporting this at all. There is another matter here which concerns me, and I'll be brief, Chairman. If you increase the structure, then one presumes you've got to increase the foundations. Councillor Cheshire, with experience, nods. If you increase the foundation, you increase the number of lorry movements. This proposal is going to see 9,000 lorries go down the Morden Road. Is it another 10%? Is it another 15%? Is this application lacking in that detail? I think we owe it to the residents in Burnham and in Southminster to understand that. Mr. Sisterson and his friends and colleagues and supporters have done a brilliant job getting the components to come in by that. But we don't want to suddenly find, by doing that and increasing the height of the turbines, that we end up with another couple of thousand lorries trundling. And there's nothing in the officer's report that addresses that question, Chairman. I don't know whether we should defer that part, but Chairman, I think you've guessed I don't support it. Thank you.
Now, Councillor Boyce, I believe you wish to speak.
Yes, Chairman, just some sort of questions. I believe the Pins or the Secretary of State made comments about not putting
considering the condition of how the delivery of these units are made, in other words, by sea. Now, I've looked through the conditions, and other than where it says, I think conditions 6, 7, 8, probably, and 10, probably refer to this, but there is no condition that actually says that there will be delivery by sea. Now, from what I have heard and see, that it's not certain that there will be delivery by sea. So I would look to suggest that we actually have a condition. I think Councillor Fluker referred to it. We actually have a condition about that delivery. The condition 8 mentions a construction traffic management plan being approved by the local planning authority. I would see that should incorporate the delivery by sea. I have another question on condition 10, and that is emergency working. The work normally isn't done between the hours of 1900 and 0700, unless there's an emergency, and that the local planning authority be informed within 7 working days of this occurrence. I think construction work has a better idea of what emergencies might be coming up, and would perhaps be able to advise on a better time scale than that, Chairman. I might add that actually I support the application.
Thank you. I've got several points which members have raised, which I think I'll ask the officers to cover before anyone else speaks, but otherwise we'll lose track. First of all, it was related to the times of unloading from the ships to bring them ashore. Could there be a condition which related to that? I think it was more or less to do with tides, but I don't know. Perhaps our officers can help me with that one.
To you, Chairman, if members so wish, if there was a concern in relation to the hours of delivery and the impact on the amenity of adjoining residents, a condition could be imposed to protect them in relation to that.
Thank you. We've also got a matter relating to the extra foundations that would be necessary to construct these towers. Is there any information relating to that? The dimensions of the bases, obviously, if the drawings show they're not increased, there won't be any more lorry movements, but if they are larger, then they likely would be.
The information actually at the moment obviously is indicative, because the details haven't actually been agreed for the actual turbines that are to be approved, and the reality is that the actual specific details are never agreed with the local authority. There are parameters which they must work within, and therefore we don't have any information in relation to that, and we wouldn't have that either at the original application stage either.
Right, so what stage will we know what the dimensions of the foundations are?
We wouldn't be informed of that.
Okay. Right, the other one was relating to the times, the conditions relating to the traffic management plan. Could that be included for the sea deliveries as well? That was a condition.
Chairman, obviously that condition relates to construction traffic plan, which obviously would normally be for highways, but if members wished for additional information to be required for the marine delivery aspect of that could be added.
Right, and then the Councillor Boyce has made a point relating to emergency working notification to the local authority about emergency working.
That condition is identical to the one that was imposed by the inspector. I don't think it'd be reasonable to vary that. Chairman.
Right. On a matter of clarification, Councillor.
Thank you, Chairman. I believe it's Mr. Hughes. He made a statement about there being an additional £2 million coming into the community by way of NDR and community payback. That would equate to about £100,000 a year over 20 years. Is that possible to control that through a 106 agreement?
Please. Through you, Chairman. The actual, those legislative requirements to provide money to for community benefits through these schemes, they aren't done through Section 106 because they're required through separate legislation. They have been done in other times, but it's not actually what government would advise, and it is conflicting with guidance of where each legislation should deal with its own issues, and they would have to do that, and if they didn't do that, the council would be able to take action under separate legislation, separate to the planning system.
And can I just come back briefly on that, because I think that's a tad misleading, because as far as I understand, the Bradwell Wind Farm is giving somewhere between £25,000 and £30,000 a year to the local community, which is roughly the same size and the same output, might be slightly larger actually. Yet this one, they're saying an extra £100,000 a year. Now, I'm delighted if that all goes in NDR before anybody else takes that away from us, but I do think that's slightly misleading, an extra £2 million.
Through your chairman, the reality is that that hasn't been part of the material consideration for the recommendation. It hasn't been assessed as part of the application because it's not considered to be.
Should be discounted.
Well, it's not been part of this recommendation.
Councillor Beale, did you have a point of clarification as well, or do you?
Well, it's a case that at the moment, so we've got two applications in on that site that are likely to be open for appeal. Suppose tonight it was agreed that this second application that includes the Riverbourne traffic flow is agreed, and then somehow that is thrown out in the air and then it was the first application, which we have to find is not going to be of any benefit to anybody. I wonder whether or not, to help us, it would be 100% agreed that if this second application is approved, if it is approved, that they certainly take away from us off the horizons, you might say, the application, which was totally inadequate in respect of the traffic flow of using the turbines by the roadway system. So therefore, I think we've still got those two because there are two live applications that are for appeal, and I do think that it would be beneficial to have indicated somewhere that if this application would go through because of the Riverbourne traffic and other items, etc., that the first one, which was totally inadequate, would be withdrawn from the point of being on appeal.
Can you address that point, please?
Through you, Chairman, the applicant has indicated if this application is successful, they would be withdrawing the appeal. And there is only one, one application I can't comment on, if there is, to my knowledge.
Councillor Sismay, and I've got you, Councillor.
I think, unfortunately, now that the principle of development has been accepted on appeal, we don't have very much option other than to approve this, given the modest change in the size of the sweep here. But the question I do have, which I still don't completely understand, is the marine delivery, is it necessary to change the condition to facilitate marine delivery? Because I'm not convinced that it is. And if it isn't, Is there a risk that the marine delivery is simply being presented as a kind of Trojan horse to get the other part of the condition approved?
Can we address that matter, please?
Through you, Chairman. Quite some time ago, the agent actually came and spoke to me about my personal opinion and about using the marine delivery, and it was actually my advice that they came forward with an application to vary the condition, because I think the only way to make sure that it was fully robust and clean was to do that. So yes, that's why it's within before us now.
Councillor Bass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little bit uncomfortable about this application. And the thing that worries me to a degree is the comment that my learned friend next to me said about the fact that if the sweep of this device is larger, then there may be, and I'm not an engineer, but there's going to be a substantial, possibly increase in the foundations of this, and that will create further generation of further traffic to the detriment of the local. And I just wonder whether or not we should proceed with this without knowing those facts. It seems to me, and I mean, I don't live on the Denji. I can see both of the current installations from my bedroom window. They look about as big as they do on that the photographs we saw earlier. So what they're going to really look like when you get close to them, I dread to think. But I think that, you know, we really should be sure that we've got this cut and dry, that we've got, we know what the lorry movements are going to be with the construction, because that's one of the biggest problems, I think, for the people generally in the Denji.
Could I just have that point? I think we've already actually talked about the, you've already told us that we don't know how big the foundations are, whether they need to be modified or not.
Through you, Chairman, obviously though, there is condition 8, which does obviously relate to a construction traffic management plan, so details of the vehicles and the numbers and everything would be looked at that stage. Obviously, we would consult Essex County Council Highways in relation to any issues from that. So I think that, in theory, should leave members relatively comfortable. Even if that's members disagree with that. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Chairman. I just feel I ought to declare an interest, as I am a member of the Crash Hold Authority, of doing so.
Thank you. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I'm still really flummoxed as to how it's going to take almost 1,300 transport movements to build one turbine, which is the way it would max out. There are 7 turbines, we've been told. There are 9,000 traffic movements, and I think that the traffic movements, to a greater extent, must just be cars and workers arriving at site, because we've heard that bringing things in by water will only reduce the AIL journeys down by 60. So something somewhere isn't quite what it seems, and I think that my comfort and my confidence is knowing that the local people have researched this, have campaigned for this, have, I think, reluctantly accepted that this will go ahead in its form here, and they are now comfortable with it. And I think the way that this has now been presented to us, with the opportunity for the use of the crouch, with perhaps there is a slightly bigger foundation or not, I'm not entirely sure. I've never known us have to consider the foundations of anything that we've ever given planning permission for. We've certainly not done it in the 8 years that I've been on the council. So I would actually think that this is a complete victory for common sense, and I'm happy that the residents are comfortable with it, reluctantly but comfortable with it, and I will certainly be supporting this.
Councillor Mr. Chan.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not taking part in this. It's just, thank goodness, Councillor Archer's here, because he's triggered my grey cells. I think I'd better declare that, and I've forgot all about this, I sit on the Kent and Essex Inshore Fisheries and Conservation Area, which of course takes all that into the equation, and because of that, I am on the Crouch Harbour Advisory Committee. Thank you, Chairman. Non-pecuniary.
Right, well, I'll just allow the ward members to have one more crack. We don't normally have 3 or 4 goes. I'd like to try and resolve this matter, but I'll take Councillor Fluke indicated to speak first.
I'm grateful, and I'm sure all the people that live in these shadows of these wind turbines will be grateful. And when I say the shadows, I mean the whole of Southminster and Burnham. And I think that we should do everything possible, Chairman, to protect that amenity. As a matter of clarification, and just to nail the point, Bradwell Wind Farm, the lorries there were in excess of 9,500. This is lorries only, not operatives going backwards and forwards in vehicles. Middlewick, we understand, is close to 9,000. It's not just foundations, it's the roads and the infrastructure. Chairman, you've asked me, given me the opportunity to come back again, and if you want me to make a counter-proposal at this stage, I will. The planning inspector, to quote the officer said there was, he accepted that there was harm. My argument is when does that harm become too much? You know, what is the tipping point? Is it another football pitch in the sky, Chairman? It's the equivalent, when we look at this, I try to work it out, it's the equivalent of another half a turbine spinning around up in the sky. And when you add that onto Middlewick, it is a lot. And the people locally will see them. They'll be further spread. And in my mind, enough is enough, and this local authority has a duty of care to those people. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Beale, you wish to say something else before I...
We've got in front of us enough information to decide on the swept area and also the transportation by river. But how long has this been going on? It's been going on for years now, talking about this, and I can't understand why Essex County Council Highways have not resolved with RES, etc., about the traffic movements. That is, but in fact, that was one of the big problems when we had the other Southminster, because this is in Wimbarm, is in Southminster again, that's two. And in fact, we had problems with traffic, the lorries coming through in areas where they shouldn't have been coming through by a time margin. And in fact, Essex County Council, by their silence, has caused us a massive problem. In fact, we could end up with passing this tonight and then still don't know what is going to happen about these traffic movements. And I wonder whether an officer can indicate why, in his mind, the Essex County Council haven't been able to indicate to him or any of us what is going to happen about the route. Where is the aggregate coming from? Is it a case they just don't know? And in actual fact, where is the route going to actually come to service that site?
Councillor, can I just draw your attention to the fact that we're asking, we're being asked to modify two conditions, and the issues that you're talking about aren't exactly involved in the decision we need to make this evening.
Mr. Chairman, with respect, I agree with that, but on the other hand, we have got the persons who are making the application here, and I do believe that they are listening to what we've got to say, because on our next meeting to come up, that's going to be one of the main stumbling blocks, and so I'd like to have them understand that if they think to pass that tonight, it's not going to be smooth running, because we want to know exactly what's going to happen with the traffic flow with those 9,000 lorries.
Right. That makes a good point. Councillor Fluke has asked if he wants a counter-proposal. I believe that if his proposal was going to be exactly the opposite to that which is being applied for, then he merely needs to vote against the recommendation.
Thanks, so, Chairman. Can I ask for a recorded vote, please? Proposal recorded.
Seconded by someone? Right. Okay, well then I'm going to put the officer's recommendation to that this is approved. There are some matters relating to the conditions which members have raised, and our officers have given our assurances as to how they can be handled. So those in favour of the officer's recommendation.
Chairman, can we have one condition at a time, please?
No.
Together.
No. There's a recommendation to approve the both of these. So those in favour, please indicate. For a recorded vote, yes. This is to approve it.
Councillor Spears.
The recommendation to approve.
Councillor Sismay. Councillor Shrimpton. Councillor Harker. Councillor Boyce. Councillor White.
Okay, and Councillor Miss Thompson.
Oh, sorry,
and Councillor Beale.
Councillor Beale wasn't included in there.
All right. So those against the officer's recommendation, please indicate.
Councillor Beale. Councillor Savage. Councillor Miss Beale. Councillor Fluker. Councillor Bass.
Right, so would you mind counting? Are there abstentions, please? One, two.
Councillor Archer, Councillor.
And me.
And
right, so could you please tell us what that amounts to?
Chairman, can I just clarify something? I will be entered as something separate, won't I? Because I've neither abstained, I haven't voted for or against, yes. So it must be recorded, the reason why I haven't even appeared.
We have 7-4, Chairman, and 5 against, and 2 abstentions.
Well, there's 7-4 officers' recommendation, 5 against, and 3 abstentions. So the recommendation to approve is passed, subject to the conditions which members mentioned earlier on. Okay, thank you very much. That leaves us with no more applications to deal with, so I close the meeting at 8:15.